Lord, teach us to pray. Have you ever asked that question to the Lord before? Lord, would you teach me how to pray on the matter? You know what? As humans, we have a hard time knowing the heart of Christ and the mind of Christ and the will of God, knowing exactly what to pray. And the disciples certainly were just like us. Lord, teach us to pray. I don't know what to pray and how to pray. And I have found myself there many times. Lord, teach me to pray. I don't know how to pray about this. What about it? And so the Lord goes through and he begins to give them of prayer and how it is. And so we have taken off in a journey in learning on Wednesday nights what the Lord says about prayer. And we have learned so much about prayer in the many, many, many weeks and even looking at prayer. I hope you've learned a few things. Recently, we have looked at the throne of grace. By the way, we've been going through the small book, The Power in Prayer, Charles Spurgeon. I just encourage you, it's a very easy, easy, easy read, short chapters, but really powerful with things that Charles nuggets. In fact, he just almost whets your appetite, gives you a couple illustrations, but powerful ways in which we are to pray. All right, we've been talking about introducing the throne of grace. The throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. And then he continues on, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Certainly a comforting verse, but it's a verse that introduces the throne of grace. What's significant about a throne? Now, this is review. We've just talked about that. The word throne signifies power. It signifies majesty. It signifies sovereignty and authority. And with that, we come to the throne with different elements. In Matthew chapter 6, we read that prayer that the Lord gave. And we see there that there needs to be respect and honor, of course, in a throne. A throne is a seat that is lifted up, though. And the subjects would look up to. And so there is respect and honor and fear and expectation, submission and cleanliness. We've looked at the throne and recognizing his position, recognizing our position. You know, we also looked at the attitude in which we ought to come before the Lord. And many times we're very solemn and respectful, and rightly so. But Spurgeon points out that we also need to have an element of joy. Why should we be joyful in coming to the throne? What's a reason why we can be joyful? We're talking to our Savior. Absolutely. What else? It's a privilege. I mean, who gets to go before the throne? We, his subjects, are invited to come at any time. Any other thoughts? Why should we be joyful? The grace. You know what? The scepter is always out. We don't have to worry about the fear of being rejected, ridiculed, killed. Joy. We need to go before the throne of grace with devout joyfulness that we have the benefits. Amazing. Last week we looked at complete submission. Complete submission. The Father even before, or Jesus Christ before the Father. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Tonight I'd like to give you another element that we have to look at just for a few moments. Tonight, don't have a lot of notes for this, but just some interesting things. We're going to take our Bibles here in just a moment. All right. You have individuals here on this earth that you might go to for something. And then there are other people that might go to for something else. Let me ask you a question. Would you go to the President of the United States to ask for a penny? Probably not. Why? The penny seems rather what? Insignificant, really, when it comes to the president. Yet You know, and Nehemiah's not in here tonight. He's back there in the nursery, so I can say this. But you know, to Nehemiah, the other day Nehemiah came to me with his little, he had, you know, those little plastic rubber-like penny or like coin containers that you kind of flip open and there's a slot in there that you can, Nehemiah's got one of those. And we were talking about something that our family, some item that our family has been praying for a while. And Nehemiah was talking that, and he, with a very proud look, came up to me, and it was actually a clear, I think it was in his wallet. It was a clear little zipper thing in his wallet. He came to me very proud and said, "Daddy, we can get this." And I said, "Oh, really, Nehemiah?" And he showed me that wallet, and in it, I think, was a nickel and maybe two pennies. And he was proud of that, and he would not understand at all that that wasn't enough money to get a couple $1,000 item. He would have no clue. To come to Nehemiah, though, for a penny would be fitting, right? I mean, "Nehemiah, I need a penny. Could you give me a penny?" And Nehemiah would reach into that thing, and he would hand me a penny, and he would be proud of it just like it was $1,000,000. "You can buy anything with this, Dad. Let's go get ice cream. Let's go do whatever. This penny can buy it. If we want it, we've got it. Here it is." Yet, when we go to the president or somebody in charge, you know what? We're not thinking about a penny. We're not thinking about something small. We're probably thinking about something big. What would you go to the throne for? Now, let me take a time out to say, is there anything too small for the throne of grace? What do you think? I think not. And I love that. I love the fact that God cares about every hair on our heads. Doesn't he not? He does. So God cares about the small things. But when we talk about going to the throne, we've talked about preparations in the past. We talked about getting in our finest. We talk about going into the throne room, and there he is, and there he sits. And yet when we go to the throne, we're not going to ask for a penny. The thing tonight is we need to have enlarged expectation when we go to the throne. God is not looking, although God is willing to give us the little things, God wants us to open our mouth. How? "Wide, and I will fill it." You see, when we go to the throne of grace, it's not a poorhouse in which we come begging. No, when we come before the throne, we're expecting God to do great things. Let me ask you a question. When you pray, do you expect God to do big things? Many of you have heard of Alexander the Great. When Alexander's soldier was told to ask what he would, he did not ask sparingly after the nature of his own merits, but he would made such a heavy demand that the royal treasure refused to pay it and put the case to the king. Alexander, in right kingly sort, replied, "He knows how great Alexander is, and he has asked, he knows how great Alexander is, and he has asked as from a king. Let him have what he requests." Now, that is a simple illustration. But the fact of the matter is why did Alexander grant his request? He said, "You know what? That's a huge request." But he understands and recognizes that the request is made to a person that can give him a lot. How much can the Lord give us? I want you to think about that. And isn't it true, although, and again, tonight we're not talking about the little things. We ought to go before the Lord with little things. You know, tonight when we get ready to go to bed, "God, would you give us a good night rest and help us?" You know what? And for some of you, that might be a bigger thing than others. But for some, that's maybe a relatively small thing compared to the big things in life. And God wants us to come before him and say, "God, would you give me a good night's rest?" Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. You know this verse. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is, and what's the next word? Able. That means he has the ability. That means he has everything there to do it. There's nothing that he needs to borrow. He doesn't have to go to the bank. He doesn't need to plead with anybody else. He's already got the ability right there in his hands. It's who he is. Now unto him that is able to do what? Look at the words that describe his ability. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Stop right there. We have the capability of asking and thinking big things, don't we? You ever thought of some amazing things? You know, I have thought of praying that the president of the United States would be saved. Now, you stop and say, well, I've heard that maybe he is. I don't know whether the president of the United States is. I have my questions concerning that. I do, however, appreciate a lot of his things that he's done. And we can be thankful for some of the things and even some spiritual emphasis he has brought into the presidency. I don't know if he's saved, but I'll tell you what, I think it would be an amazing thing for the president to be saved. But that's too big of a prayer request, right? Well, it's not. You know the answer. I know you know the answer, but aren't we scared to pray things like that? And why do we get scared to pray things like that? Because we're afraid of rejection. That will never happen. It's too big. May I ask you, how big is your God? He says exceedingly abundantly above, honestly, the biggest thing that you ever could imagine, he says above that. Above that is what I can do. You know, there are some things right now that I'm praying for that quite honestly, as I come and pray before the throne, I come here to this church and I pray and I'm all by myself and I say, God, it doesn't make human sense how this could even take place. And God says, come to the throne and expect big things. He said, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. And I love that, or even think. Because that means it's above all of my thoughts. Has God ever done something that you had, you know, if God's going to do this, then certainly he's going to use either choice A, B, or C. That's the only way he can do it. And then he does choice D that you never thought of. Brothers and sisters, that's our God in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. In fact, most of the times, it's not in the way that we even expect or that we thought of. We planned. God has bigger and better ways. But the end of the verse says this, according to the power that worketh in us. Let me ask you, what about the power that works in us? What about the power that God has given through the person of Jesus Christ and the death on the cross for each one of us to overcome the penalty of sin, to overcome the slavery of sin, to overcome the punishments of sin, to overcome everything that Satan threw at us and our flesh has, to overcome that and to give us eternity and to give us a place in the heavens that's exceeding abundantly what we can imagine. At the funeral last night, the pastor was given the immensity of the New Jerusalem and the glories of the New Jerusalem. It's according to his power. Folks, we have no concept of the bigness of God, and yet those are the kind of requests that God wants us to ask. Why? Because we're coming to the throne. A similar verse, Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, you could quote that verse, but my God shall supply our needs or need according to what? His riches in glory. According to. You know, that word is not out from. It's not like he has a pile of riches here that he reaches his hand in and pulls out of. So now it's kind of like minus, subtraction. It's not according to or out of pulling from. No, it's looking at the huge vastness of it. That's the kind of gift that's available. It's a picture of what's available. That's the kind of thing. It's according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus that God would supply our needs. And if that's what's available, then what shall we have not because ye ask not. Brothers and sisters, why do we come to the throne asking for such little things? again. God wants us to ask for the little things, but sometimes our faith is so weak. And I ask you, where are we coming to ask and beg? Are we going to the poorhouse or are we going to the throne of grace? We need to ask a big God for big things. And I'll tell you what, God gets honor and glory when we ask for big things. The next time you're ready to pray and all of a sudden the thought comes into your mind, that's pretty big. You know what? Then that matches up with the God that's going to answer. That's the kind of prayers that God wants us to ask. Big things. God wants us to get to ask for big things. Pastor, come on. That idea is ridiculous that you presented to us. There's no way. You know what? We've got a big God. I remember many, many years ago, Servants Heart Camp looked at how many properties to purchase. And Melissa and I went on a lot of those trips, but we missed a lot of trips. But there was one trip that we went on that we were with Melissa's parents. I think it was just the four of us, or I don't know who was there. I remember the four of us being there. And it was a property that obviously we didn't end up getting. I don't know where it was. I can't remember a whole lot about it. But there was this sort of a lodge or building that was there, and then there was this lake that was there. And honestly, the camp property that they have now, it far exceeds that property. But at that point in time, I think that there was an excitement in the air about this place. And I remember we were sitting in this place and the realtor came in and we were talking to him and sharing some things, maybe some finances. I don't know what it was. And the realtor's answer was something to the effect of, you might as well give up because there's no way that could ever happen. And I remember something that my mother-in-law said that kind of surprised me, that came from her mouth, but it's never left me. And I was surprised that she had the guts and encouragement to say it. This realtor was, as far as I know, not a Christian, didn't understand the things of God, didn't understand the bigness of God. And she looked at him and she says, well, you don't know my big God. I wonder how many of us know our big God. My friends, when we come before the throne, we have learned so many little things that we need to do, but I believe tonight we need to have enlarged expectations of what God can do. We don't know what He's going to do. Again, remember last week, nevertheless, not my will, but thine, Lord, be done. But when we feel burdened to pray about something and it seems too big, I say all the more, pray for it. Because God loves to be big to His children. God loves to be big. What is it tonight that you're scared about praying for? What is it tonight that's too big? You know, honestly, I'll tell you my own frailties. When I think of praying that Shalissa would be healed, I almost feel embarrassed to say that. Because nobody gets healed of type 1 diabetes. You know what? There's a lot of diseases out there, and you can search the internet. You can find remedies for almost everything. I will tell you, Melissa and I have done it. You don't find a remedy for type 1 diabetes. And I have no idea that God would ever do it. I don't know. But is our God big enough to do it? Why wouldn't we pray for it? And what's the answer? Because we don't believe in a big God. It's unbelief. It's unbelief, folks. It is unbelief that we won't pray so big. And I will tell you, I'm the king of unbelief. There are so many times my own wife comes to me with huge things, and I squelch it because I'm like, come on. And you know what I'm doing? I'm saying, my God is not very big. No, God says exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you have enlarged expectations for God to work tonight? We're about ready here in just a few moments. We're going to have some prayer requests and we're going to go before the throne of grace. And the temptation will be is to pray for little things. little things that I know God wants. We know that, and he can easily do it. He's demonstrated he can do that, so we're going to pray for those things. And I encourage you to pray for those things because God says to ask. What about the big things that we're intimidated with? Big things. Big things. I want you to think just for a moment, the things that you, big things in your life. I'd love my children to come back to the truth. Or I'd love my neighbor to get saved. I say, no way that neighbor will get saved. What size of God do you have? I got a neighbor that seems pretty big for God to save. He's big enough to save me, he can save him. And God is big enough. What tonight do you have that's pretty big? A big thing coming up in your life. There is for me. I've got something that I'm just praying for, and it's just, but I tell you what, my faith is so weak. I have a tendency to shake my head and say, God, isn't it just easier to pray for littler things? Isn't it? It is. It's hard to pray for big things. But remember, we're praying before the throne. The throne. Father, would you help us as we go to prayer here in a few minutes to have enlarged, great expectations for you to do things that would bring you that glory and that honor. No, not according to our own lusts and desires, not according to our own wants and wishes, but according to your will in your name, Jesus. Oh, Father, I pray that you would help us to learn to ask big things and expect big things. To expect you to do the big promises that you said you would do. Oh, Lord, would you help us? Tonight we have things to pray for. God, would you do them? Would you do them? Lord, when you do them, we are ready and excited to give you the honor and glory and praise that you deserve, because we'll know that no earthly person, no earthly circumstance could dream up that answer. But you can, Father, you can. God, would you help us? God, would you help us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praying for some big things already at Faith Bible Church. I asked you on Sunday.